Okay, thank you. Good evening. My name is Bill Quinlan. I'm the president of Eversource New Hampshire. I'm joined tonight by Jim Munz, who's the president of our transmission business, Ken Bose, our vice president of engineering, Sam Johnson, who's a technical expert with Burns McDonnell, and Lee Carboneau, who's an environmental expert with Norman Doe Associates. So as the chair indicated, I'm going to run through a very brief presentation just to hit some highlights, and then obviously look forward to your questions and comments. So I've been involved in Northern Pass for about 18 months at this point. The first year of my involvement was really spent listening to New Hampshire. And we call it stakeholder outreach, but there was a wide range of discussions we've had throughout New Hampshire to get input into the project that we were going to submit to the Site Evaluation Committee. Municipalities, landowners, environmental organizations, businesses throughout the state, labor, a wide range of outreach to understand where are the issues and what could we do to make this the best possible project for the state of New Hampshire. That took, in essence, a year. And during the course of that listening, one of the things we determined is we needed to come forward with a project that struck an appropriate balance. And the factors that I thought were important in striking the balance were: we need a project that works technically, a project that addresses some of the major issues we've heard from the New Hampshire outreach, and then a project that's affordable. So that's the balance that we targeted. Throughout that year, there were really only three major issues that came to the surface when you boiled it all down. Obviously a lot of feedback on view impacts, given that we were proposing originally a largely overhead transmission route, 180 miles long. Naturally, there are a lot of questions and concerns about aesthetic impacts. Secondly, and we heard this universally from businesses and residences across the state, what will this project do to address the high energy rates that New Hampshire is experiencing? Many folks are concerned, particularly businesses in the manufacturing sector, that they cannot be competitive with the highest energy costs in the nation. So they want to understand what will this project do to lower energy costs and simultaneously help the region meet its environmental goals by reducing reliance on fossil fuels. And then thirdly, what are the benefits to the state of New Hampshire? There's been a lot of misinformation that this project is all about getting power from Canada to southern New England, and that all of the benefits were going to flow to southern New England. There's nothing in it for the state of New Hampshire and its residents. And it was clear to me from this listening that we had to address that very directly. So those are the three issues we've attempted to directly address through our For New Hampshire plan. Here's what we've come up with. This is the project as originally announced in 2010, and the project that we have proposed to the Site Evaluation Committee after a year of listening. And it's fundamentally a different project. These are some of the trade-offs that we made based upon feedback from New Hampshire. We have a longer route. We've added 12 miles to the route. How did that happen? It happened because we moved the line from the western part of New Hampshire, more populated areas in the North Country, to the east. So we essentially put in this east-west segment so that we can get over to what's referred to as Wagner Forest, which is a working forest, 24 miles long, where there were really no significant scenic or view impacts that were of concern. It's one property owner. So we changed a north-south route, and we went east and then south. It was really based on feedback from New Hampshire. The next thing we did is we looked at underground construction. What could we afford to do, and what could technically be feasible from an underground perspective? And these areas in yellow are now all underground. So we went from a project that had no underground initially to one that has almost a third of its route now underground. There's 8 miles of it here in the North Country to get us over to Wagner Forest, and then an additional 52 miles that we committed to last year to essentially go underground around the White Mountain National Forest, the Appalachian Trail, Franconia Notch. Now, I have gotten a lot of feedback. How'd you pick that area? Why not other areas in New Hampshire? And it was in essence, based upon the feedback we had gotten from stakeholders across New Hampshire. Almost universally, they said, you need to do something to address that critically important area. The areas in blue, those are all existing right-of-ways, so we wanted to utilize to the maximum extent possible corridors that already exist today. They're cleared, there's transmission infrastructure in them, so we tried to avoid to the maximum extent possible any new rights-of-way that required a lot of clearing. So you'll see most of the project is blue. A large part of it is now yellow. So there's very limited amounts of new rights-of-way, particularly when you take out the Wagner Forest. Okay, so we've got a fundamentally different route to accommodate 60 miles of underground construction, which will make this the longest underground HVDC line in North America. We actually had to change the cable technology and change the size of the project. So we went from what's referred to as conventional cable to state-of-the-art cable technology to allow that amount of underground. To do it reliably in a way that we felt technically comfortable with, we actually had to scale down the size of the project. So we no longer have a 1,200 megawatt project. We've taken about 10% of the project capacity and eliminated it based, again, on New Hampshire feedback. So these are the trade-offs we've made. What do all those changes mean from a project cost perspective? They've added about $500 million worth of project costs. So this is the balance that we made based upon the feedback from New Hampshire, and this is the balanced project that we've submitted to the SEC. You know, we've gotten a lot of feedback since then. You know, why not put it all underground, particularly in Interstate 93? And the fundamental reason for not doing that is it's not affordable. It's not an economic project. It would add an additional $1 billion to the project cost, so a $1.6 billion project becomes a $2.6 billion project. And when we look at who's going to pay for that additional $1 billion, it's not something anyone's willing to pay for. So that's the reason why we have landed on the project we have. We think it addresses the principal issues we've heard from New Hampshire in a balanced way. On the issue of underground construction, you know, we get a lot of feedback that everyone else in New England is building projects underground. You know, you're using archaic technology, it's outdated. This is just a quick snapshot of what's been built in New England over the last 15 years, almost 600 miles of large transmission infrastructure across New England. None of these projects are in New Hampshire. Over 90% of that is conventional overhead construction. Okay, so less than 10% is underground. The only exceptions to this are in major cities. So Boston, you see this project in Boston, the Boston Reliability Project, or those first two projects which are Fairfield County, Connecticut, as you head into Manhattan, okay? So heavily congested areas, that's where you see underground construction. Virtually everything else has been built overhead. Okay, another, I think, important thing to recognize is that there's an existing line from Hydro-Quebec that runs right through New Hampshire today. It's called the Phase 2 line. This line in red exists today. It's all overhead. It essentially does the same thing that the project is that we're proposing to do here. The tower heights are actually taller than what we're proposing here, and in some instances, substantially taller. There are towers and structures along that line that are 240 feet tall. It's been there for decades, and it serves very reliably New Hampshire and New England's energy needs today. So the point here is really that you know, if you look across New England as to what has been built historically and what's actually being proposed to be built in the future, you know, the 60 miles that we are proposing here in this project will be the single longest underground construction in New England, as I said earlier, for this technology in all of North America. Okay? Just on the issue of benefits to New Hampshire, So when we reintroduced that route last fall, the other thing we knew we needed to address was what are the direct economic and environmental benefits to the state of New Hampshire? And there are many numbers on this slide. Some important ones are the top line. When we look at it, and our experts analyze the cumulative benefits, it's almost $4 billion of direct economic benefits to the state of New Hampshire. I'm not going to read these, but this gets to the point raised by businesses. What's it going to do to lower energy costs? When we look at it, under current market conditions, it's about $80 million a year savings to businesses and residences across the state of New Hampshire. Okay, we also added benefits. The $200 million for New Hampshire fund are additional benefits we've made part of the project as an ongoing expense to drive additional investment into the state of New Hampshire on some key areas of focus, particularly in host communities. Property taxes, we've taken a hard look at what does a $1.6 billion project mean from a tax perspective to the municipalities hosting the line, to the counties hosting the line, and to the state of New Hampshire. It's about $30 million a year. Importantly, this is a great opportunity for us to create jobs and economic stimulation in New Hampshire. We announced last fall as part of this our New Hampshire first approach to sourcing the project. So wherever possible, we're going to use New Hampshire labor and services and goods to build and construct this project. So, and we think there's great opportunities for the state that'll come from that. We've already been exploring some of these and making them a reality. In total, almost $4 billion of economic benefits. The environmental benefits are also quite significant from the perspective of reduced carbon emissions across the region. Some things that we could do from a project perspective to encourage small-scale renewable development, renewable generation development. And really, when you look at the benefits outlined here, they're unique, both energy-wise, economically, and environmentally. We believe we've put together a benefit package for the state of New Hampshire that really complements the changes we've made to the project route and answers that stakeholder question, what's in it for New Hampshire? Okay? So that's the thinking behind the Forward New Hampshire plan, which led to the filing that we've made. And with that, I look forward to the questions you might have.